good to be with you. I've been here several times over the years, and it's great to see old friends and folks that we've been doing things together in CBF or the Alliance of Baptists or Children's Camp or Youth Camp for many, many years. I especially enjoy seeing the children and youth. I look forward to seeing them each summer and watching young people grow up. I'm glad to see my friends, Derek. We've stayed in touch a lot. I appreciate him. And Wesley. Now, you know, from what I've heard, he does tell a few people, and if he does it, his daddy does, that he will be in our care at in Nacogdoches, Austin Heights Baptist Church, and at Stephen F. Austin next fall. So we promise to take good care, and we'll be in touch. Just remember, when in doubt, I have their phone number. So let's pray together. Oh God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The prophet Habakkuk said, "The just shall live by faith." Jesus said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be moved from here to there, and it will obey you. When Jesus healed people, he usually told them, go, your faith has made you well. And the Apostle Paul says, we are justified, put right with God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And at the beginning of chapter 11 in Hebrews, it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. From one end of the Bible to the other, faith is central to the living of the life we share in the resurrection of Christ. Faith is the key, so keep the faith. When I was growing up out in West Texas, I occasionally heard someone say, keep the faith. It was a word of encouragement, keep the faith. It meant, don't give up, keep the faith. Don't give in, keep the faith. It meant, stay true to what you've been taught, what you've been given, what your forefathers and your foremothers taught you in the Christian faith. Stay true, keep your eyes on the prize, keep the faith. Now, to keep the faith has less to do with proper theology or the correct belief, but it has everything to do with how we walk in life. It has to do with keep on keeping on. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen, so says the Hebrews writer. It's not living on certitude. It's not about getting the facts ahead of time and then walking. It's about going on in the face of immense difficulty based on the assurance we have in Christ. Faith and belief and trust and assurance and tenacity. That's what we're talking about. Now, the Hebrews writer says that we can't keep the faith in the face of difficulty and be able to stand against the powers of death by having an abstract discussion about faith. So the rest of the chapter, the writer gives examples of our ancestors in the Old Testament who lived by faith, who kept the faith. So he turns in the family photo album and he starts pointing to these pictures and tells us a little bit about them. And he mentions Abel and Noah and Enoch and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. He points to the stories of Moses and the Exodus generation and Rahab. And then, like a lot of preachers, he runs out of time and he has to get in a hurry. And he says, and what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets. And he's turning the pages and he's going through the family photo album and pointing all these pictures out. Now, compressing our long lineage of faith carriers, he summarizes with this great paragraph. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, and tormented. You see what I mean? He doesn't spend a lot of time talking about their theology. He does not talk about their perfection. In fact, if you read the stories in the Bible, you study the lives of the saints in church history, you will find a colorful cast of flawed human beings just like you and me. They are not models of faith because they were all sweet and nice or even easy to be around. Some of them would not have liked each other. And some of them we would not want to invite to our houses for supper. Now, the author of Hebrews is trying to encourage a small, struggling community of Christians. They are folks, a community who are going against the stream. Now, they're not going against the stream because they like going against the stream. What they are about is they are clear that they are to embody and practice the way of Jesus. That they are to live out and practice the Beatitudes that we read this morning in the Sermon on the Mount, the way of Jesus. And they're tired, and they are weary, and they may be afraid. How much easier it would be to just be a nice church that does a lot of feel-good stuff. Our attendance would increase, the institution would survive, and we could relax. But they're called to follow Jesus. They're called to keep the faith. And it is tough and it is difficult. So the writer is reminding them that they are part of an extraordinary legacy of people who live by faith. He's reminding them they are part of something much larger than themselves. Faith is faithfulness. Faith is keeping faith across time. It's consistency. It's a long obedience in the same direction. Faith is showing up even when you don't feel like it. Faith is the courage to keep going when the going is hard, because the journey is long, the work is tedious, and you will meet resistance. Keep the faith. And faith is community, family. These are not isolated individuals, but members of a community that sustains and supports them. The rugged individual or the solitary mystic does not last long or accomplish much without the community of the faithful to carry the work forward. In fact, the author of Hebrews makes this remarkable statement after listing these heroes of the faith. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Apart from us. He means their work is not finished. Their lives are not complete until we do our part. And we, in turn, must trust our life work to those who will follow us. Now, that's kind of scary to me. But it's another way we trust God with the outcomes. Now, part of what you're doing here at Highland Park is you're looking ahead at the future. Now, you look behind and you remember and give thanks for the extraordinary faith of those who founded this church out on the north side of Austin, out on the very edge of Austin in those days. And all of those who have come along over the years, Herbert and Joyce Skinner and Bill and Virginia Music and John Miller, and you remember and still visit 102-year-old Francis Durden. Some of them have passed, while some are still among you now, but you remember and you give thanks. But at the same time, You're looking ahead. Your work is not finished. You have youth and children to raise in this faith. You're opening the family photo album and you're showing them the pictures of their ancestors who built this church, who gave a witness to Christ while they were in the middle of a world of meanness, bigotry, and fear. You're showing them and telling them the stories that this church from the beginning has been a witness of something different than meanness and anger and hostility and bigotry and fear. And it's because from the beginning you have known that you are to be rooted in and follow this Jesus Christ. It's about trusting God with the outcomes. I think about the great cathedrals begun by one generation, continued by another, and finished by yet another. You know this, many of you do who travel, that one of the disappointments when you go to Europe is the scaffolding you find at so many of the historic old cathedrals. But of course, the church buildings, like the church, like each and every one of us, is always under construction. Faith is building on what others have done before us. Ordinary people coming together to accomplish extraordinary things to keep God's vision alive and to do the work of grace, mercy, and love, and justice in this hard old world. As one rabbi has suggested, it is not up to us to finish the work, but neither are we free to leave it. Or as the author of Hebrews concludes in his review of our family album of the faithful, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Trusting God with the outcome. As Martin Luther King said, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you keep moving forward. You keep the faith. Now remember, this is about running an endurance race. It's not a competition. It's not about winners and losers. Living the faith of Christ is counter to everything we know in the wider world about competition and survival of the fittest and all that. The whole point of the Hebrew writer's efforts is to encourage this congregation of believers to hang in there together, to endure together, to persevere together, to trust God together. The image that comes to my mind is it's like running a race in the Special Olympics, and one of the runners falls down. Instead of going on and finishing the race, the other runners stop, go back, and help the fallen runner to get up and hobble along until they all cross the finish line together. Now that's church. That's keeping the faith. So we keep the faith. And we can keep the faith because our faith is anchored in Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And the community of faith is all of us connected with those who've gone before, reaching all the way back to Christ. So in a few minutes, we'll be coming forward for Holy Communion. But we're not alone. It's not just us. In Christ, we are in communion with all of those who've gone before us, with Abraham and Sarah, and Moses and Rahab and Barak and David and Paul and Timothy and Francis of Assisi and Roger Williams and Rosa Parks and Will Campbell, Martin Luther King and Fannie Lou Hamer and Bill Music and Herb Skinner and others, many of whom are not known by anybody else but maybe you. But they hung in there. And they didn't give up. So this morning, keep the faith. Keep the faith when you feel like it, but keep the faith when you don't. Keep the faith. Keep the faith when you think you know what you're doing, and you keep the faith when you don't. You keep the faith when you're courageous, and you keep the faith when you're scared. You keep the faith when the way is clear and well lighted, and you keep the faith when you can't see the way. You keep the faith when you're alone and feeling cut off, and you keep the faith when you're in the middle of a crowd of friends. You keep the faith when you believe, and you keep the faith when you don't believe. You keep the faith on Sundays, but you also keep the faith on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesdays. You keep the faith on the mountaintop of exaltation, and you keep the faith in the valley of humiliation. You keep the faith. You're not alone. There's a whole cloud of witnesses shouting encouragement to you from the grandstands. Don't give up. Keep going. Come on. Keep the faith. We keep the faith. We're not alone. Jesus Christ has run the race before us, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, so we will not grow weary or faint-hearted. Highland Park, keep the faith. Amen.